Welcome to Betting 360, your number one source for horse racing and sports betting insights. Coming around the bend is your host, David Duffield, with another expert interview to give you the winning edge.
Hi, this is David Duffield, and welcome to another episode of the Betting 360 podcast. My special guest today is Scott Woodward. I'm sure many of you know who he is, but highly successful NRL analyst and punter, and always keen to share information on his one true passion, that's NRL betting. So he'll run through exactly what he does on a week-by-week and a game-by-game basis in analysing the NRL and trying to find a profitable edge. So let's have a chat with Scott. Thanks for joining us today, Scott.
Yeah, good day, Dave.
It's a pretty exciting time of year for you. You've done a fair bit of work in the lead-up to the season, but it all starts, well, tonight by the time people are listening to it, Thursday night, the round one blockbuster.
Yeah, look, all the teams have just come out for round one. To say it's interesting is an understatement. Certainly been shocked at a couple of the selections, a couple of halfbacks, the halfback for the Storm, Ben Roberts, the halfback for St George, Michael Witt. I was absolutely stunned to see that both clubs would select those two guys. It's not like they're young guys and we're going to get a bit of a surprise. Both those guys have been around a long while. We've seen plenty of them and I can't believe they're playing such a key spine position. Very much so the Storm, as in I have a high regard for the personnel there and I'm really surprised that they did something like that, particularly when they had alternatives. So, but, you know, that's fine. You know, if we can find a little edge, that's what we're here for. I've sent my early ratings out to members for this week. They will change by kickoff time. I'm still getting injury reports in. The big game Thursday night is crucial, the Rabbitohs and the Roosters game. The Rabbitohs have named both their first pick, 6 and 7, Dylan Walker and Adam Reynolds. I'm sure Adam Reynolds will definitely play. I don't know about Dylan Walker, but if he doesn't play, look, they'll still be very, very competitive because seemingly their luck will just drop back into the halves. And that was the combination they had in the trial against St George, and they absolutely brained them. They went fantastic. And, you know, look, let me say they've got out to very good odds now. The Rabbitohs, $2.26, playing at home. You'd like to get those sort of odds about them every week when they're playing at home. You'd have a fat year. The market has really reacted to some injuries that they've had and also the fact that the Roosters have got a lot of positive publicity and just won the World Club Challenge at the moment. So I really think at this stage it's a toss of the coin game. I certainly will be waiting till 1 hour before kickoff till I know exactly who's going to be the 6 and 7 for the Rabbitohs. The Roosters, I was talking to the camp today, they're all well and all very, very confident, all trained well and expect to do very well, as I'm sure they will. It's going to be a great game, no doubt about that.
And how do you approach betting in round one? Because during the normal season, you'll watch all the games, what, 3 times, and study all the stats and speak to some well-connected people. But for round one, it's obviously quite a bit different. And I think you mentioned there's been a number of injuries as well with key players for the first round. So is it likely to be relatively quiet from a betting perspective while things settle down?
Well, Dave, look, we've got all the ins and outs, and we try and assess on how they will go and line them up with the coaches. And some of the clubs have got new coaches. And when I'm doing my ratings, like I have 34 different points that I rate a team on, but the most important thing that I rate and which weighs heavily, the heaviest for me of anything, is the coaches. And a lot of the teams have got new coaches, and some of those new coaches I've got a very high regard for, as I did the Roosters coach last year, and he went on and won the grand final. And it's a very, very important thing, and I don't like betting against a coach who I regard as a Group 1 coach. I don't like doing that at all because you know that players are always going to turn up and they'll play at the 80 minutes. It's absolutely everything as far as I'm concerned. So we've got the ins and outs. We've got the teams now. Some of these teams are playing for the first time for their coaches and I just want to see how they go this weekend. Next week for members, we will be having a good look at our futures, our exotics, who we think will finish in the top 4, the top 8, and the Wooden Spoon. I think the Wooden Spoon is very open at the moment. I think there's 4 clear chances, and I'm suggesting that there may be only 2 after this weekend. But just a couple of things that I want to see. A couple of teams I've been impressed with in the trials that I wasn't expecting to be impressed, and a couple of teams I've been disappointed with, and some of the selections that have come up have really raised my eyebrows. I just can't understand why some clubs have guys in the recruiting that actually recruit some of these guys and then actually select them and play them. Really stuns me, but that's the way it is, and all teams can't be the same. So I think the Wooden Spoon is congested at the moment. Anyway, like we had a webinar the other night with Peter O'Sullivan from the Roosters, and he included the Cowboys in his top four. And look, that's fair enough. He knows the coach very well, Greeny. He's having his first crack at coaching, and he looks like he's going to have a promising career. He's certainly got a great list, and I'm sure they'll do very well also. My best roughie is undoubtedly the Warriors. My big red flag there is I don't have a high regard for the coach, even though he's been around for over 10 years, but he's got something like a 46% record. And when you've been coaching for over a decade and you can't get above 50%, that tells me that you're not a top-class first-grade coach. So, look, that's a concern for me, but they've got two of the most exciting players in the world in their list, and I just can't have them not making the semi-finals with both those players in the side. On top of that, they've got an outstanding forward pack, and they've got speed to burn in the back line and a lot of depth if there's any injuries. I'm very comfortable that the Warriors will make the eight. Four doesn't surprise anybody. Look, I'd like to throw in a surprise there, but I'm not going to do it for the sake of just doing it. Things will change after the weekend. The Manly are playing Storm in the first game. Obviously, that'll have a big bearing. South Sydney Rabbitohs are playing the Sydney City Roosters, and obviously, that'll have a big game. So, you know, we've got the four big teams, if you like, facing off against each other. So that will tell us a lot. We get to see the Bulldogs play the Broncos. That's also going to tell us a lot. Ben Barber's having his first game for the Broncos. I've been surprised at some of the selections for the Bulldogs, and they've got a lot of guys out. But having said that, so are the Broncos. And the Bulldogs got a lot more depth to cover a lot of the positions. And despite all the forwards that are out for the Bulldogs, they've still come up with a very formidable pack. And I'll be surprised if they don't defeat the Broncos. They're certainly short enough at the moment. I'm going to have a close look at those prices and compare them with their ratings and make sure that we've got some good value for our bets over the weekend. And I'll be sending them out those to members sometime during Thursday.
All right, so with the top four, you mentioned Manly, the Storm, the Roosters and Souths. Have you made any futures bets at this stage or is it too early?
Yeah, look, I haven't at the moment. If I was going to do anything, all I could do would be the Warriors. There's just a couple of things that I want to see. I wanted to have a look at the final list. I was very happy that the Warriors selected young Chad Townsend as their six. I think he's an on-field general and he's got a good short tactical kicking game. He's a good goal kicker. It's just that he's got a skill set that they've been lacking at the Warriors for many years, in fact. And look, I know he's only young. I think he's got a good future. And I'm blown away that the Cronulla Sharks let him go. They really needed him at that club, particularly with question marks over the fitness of Carney. So that's what it's all about, recruiting people at the right time and at the right price. And I think Chad Townsend could be a real goldmine for the Warriors this year. Based on trial form and what I saw them do against the Broncos last week and based on their nines form, they're certainly going to be a big bullet in this competition, I think. They play Parramatta first up. You might recall that they also had good form in pre-season last year, and then they went and played Parramatta at Parramatta and they got absolutely hammered by 30-plus points. So if history repeats itself, Parramatta should beat the Warriors again. And it's fair to say that the Parramatta Eels have got a much better side this year than what they had last year, but so too has the Warriors. So it's going to be a fascinating game also. I would declare the Warriors unbeatable if the game was in New Zealand. And they haven't travelled in the off-season, so this is their first trip away from the ditch. So that's not going to be easy for them, having to go to Parramatta with a new coach and a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of new blood in the side. So it's not going to be an easy game. But to me, that's one of the most attractive games for the weekend. And once again, I just need to have a look at the market price and compare that with our range before we actually include anything into our staking plan.
All right, so on a week-by-week and a game-by-game basis, just tell us about the analysis that you do, and you mentioned that there are a number of factors and ratings that you do for each team. Yeah, just talk us through a normal week as far as the work's involved and then the end result of that is in terms of the bets that you suggest and that you have yourself.
Well, Dave, obviously there's a lot of video watching. We tend to watch each game at least three times, once without audio, and some games from an aerial view. So that's just the standard video watching. But obviously it's very heavily statistical based and some unusual things in the statistics as well. I'm working with a UK a statistical company at the moment to try and get some information that I've been unable to get from the Australian guys. So it's a combination of videos, of statistics, and also, if you like, inside information. You can have all the best statistics and all the best analytical studying in the world, but if you don't get all the right information, if you don't know how the players have gone on the training track for the week, who's hobbled off, who's got the injuries, who's going to be a late out, who's going to be a late in, if you haven't got all that, it doesn't mean that much. So the trick is to try and put it all together and let it make some sense, and hopefully you can have a little edge on the marketplace. It's a little bit like if you're doing horses and you've got your own horse database and you're watching all the horse videos, but if you don't know if that horse has been eating its chaff every night, it doesn't mean much. So it's very important to have inside mail. I'm lucky that I've got some really good contacts. I've got a vast network, not just here in Australia, but in New Zealand and the UK. I've got some very good contacts, and most of them are either professionals, as in they punt for a living, or they actually work for the clubs in some capacity where you can actually have a coffee with them, talk to them and get information. And I'm not talking about them giving privileged information, just a conversation, and their friends. It's a little bit like somebody talking to a jockey after track work or something like that, or someone talking to a stable hand and you know, oh, that horse didn't eat his breakfast or something like that. That type of stuff is important. You know, when we've got a lot of players with question marks on them this week, we had a question mark on Cooper Cronk and he didn't come up. We've got question marks on the 6 and 7 for South Sydney on Thursday night. And whether or not both those guys play, one of those guys play or none of those guys play, that's going to be absolutely crucial to the betting, and it'll be crucial to the result of the game. So we just need to know that information, and we can't wait and then find out, because then the horse is bolted and then you're on the same level as everybody else and you don't get an advantage. Therefore, you can't win. If you don't get a mathematical advantage, you can't win. It's as simple as that. You need to get an edge. And that's why we make a profit. Can't make a profit if you're going to be starting the race on the same line as everybody else. There's just not enough room.
Yep, so there's, you know, previews, reviews, rated prices, yep, injury information, videos, and also at times you make some suggested in-play or half-time bets, is that right?
Yeah, if ever there's some late mail or information that I think the members would want to know, I'll always get it straight out to them in their email straight away. We'll always try and do that. If we think there's an exotic that terrific value, for instance, you know, if there's a heavy wind, there's a lot of rain or something like that, and it's going to have a big impact on the number of points that are going to be scored in the game, you know, we'll get involved in the unders and overs or something like that. If one team is consistently a brilliant starter and another team is consistently a slow starter, or goes well in the wet, goes well in under lights, things like that, and the market hasn't recognised that, well, we'll try and take advantage of that edge. So, you know, we'll try and get that information out to our members on a daily basis without trying to bamboozle them and flood them with useless information. At the end of the day, you know, we'll give you the teams and we'll give you comments and all that, but at the end of the day, if you compare our latest ratings with the market price, you'll always see if there's value. You don't need me to say that. Clearly anybody can compare a rating with the market price. You know, that's really what it is, and we live and die by our ratings, really. We try and find an edge. We try and find an area where we can profit where the general market won't be.
Good stuff. All right, we'll leave it there for now. I'm sure we'll get you back on during Origin time, but I can tell you're pretty excited for the upcoming season, so appreciate you joining us today, and thanks, everyone, for listening in.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Good luck, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in to Betting 360. Get more in-depth analysis, tips, and that betting edge by heading over to championpicks.com.au, where you'll find a full transcript of this episode. If you like the show, share us with a fellow punter or drop by iTunes to leave us your thoughts. Betting 360, punting from all angles.